Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, what are you afraid of? Nothing? Wait a minute. This is a very fearful time we're in. We all have a lot to worry about. But how deep does it go? And how does it color you and limit you? And we're going to find answers to this by speaking with a wonderful author who has written a book about her own journey of fear and delivery. And her book is called Healed by Cancer, How the Cancer Healed Her. So maybe we're gonna be healed by virus or whatever. But to help us find out what we need to be healed from, and how, I think the how is a big word, is our author, Jacob Duncan. Jacob, welcome to Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you for having me.
Sure, and you have quite a story. Your book is about, you know, how cancer really tackled you. And yes, how you did so much. It was amazing, all the good things you did to beat it. You know, you were going for vitamin C drips regularly. You had
twice a week.
And glutathione injections and acupuncture and you name it. And you had, how many nutrients were you taking? How many supplements? Dozens.
37 different kinds of supplements I was taking every day.
Okay. Now, we should think that works.
Right? You would think so. Yes.
And you weren't seeing results.
No, as a matter of fact, the cancer was gaining on me. And so I was diagnosed in December of 2016. And 2017, I call the year of insanity because I tried absolutely everything holistic. I stayed away from Western medicine and did everything holistic. Nothing worked. And then in October of 2018, I found out that the cancer had spread. And I had tumors in the breast, in the uterus, and in the cervix. And that news brought me to my knees.
Yeah, because after all, you did everything you could imagine.
Absolutely. And I was like, what else do I need to do? I don't know what else to do. And something in me shifted, and I was in meditation, and I just simply said, show me. And what happened was this realization came about that I needed to allow myself to feel. I had stuffed down so many of the emotions, as many people do. Society doesn't encourage us to feel anger, to feel fear, to feel shame, any of that. And so we stuff it down. And in my case, it festered in my body and turned into cancer. And so what happened October 2018, the news that I was so scared of, I had so much fear of cancer and the thought of death and dying, was the best news I could have gotten because it stopped me in my tracks and I realized that I needed to work on my state of being instead of focusing on doing.
But that revelation is hard to come by. So obviously you were in this life to have that recognition, because yes, so many people at that point would have said, you know, take me away. I can't do this anymore. And right, surrendered to collapse. And, you know, and maybe that works too, is not working on being, but just trusting that something can happen. And I think I've known a lot of people who have lived that way and it hasn't worked. And I've known many people who have gone for soul healing, to see famous gurus and famous healers, to be blessed by them and strengthened by them, and then would come home and die.
Yes.
And so that's not necessarily the answer. Maybe for some it is. Maybe that's their journey.
Right.
And maybe the journey for others is to be healed by a vitamin C drip, you know, or other things like that.
Well, I had read lots of success stories where people had healed from vitamin C or from this, that, or the other. And I thought, well, if they could do it, I should be able to do it. And nothing seemed to be working until I finally realized that I needed to allow myself to feel, acknowledge the fear, acknowledge the anger, the shame, all of the emotions, be with it, be okay with it. And also the fear of death and dying, the fear of cancer, I finally realized that I needed to be okay with dying, because that fear had such my way of healing
can cause its own trouble.
I'm sorry?
The resistance to dying can its own problem.
And that's exactly what I was just going to say, that there was such desperation in my body. And when I finally was okay with death and dying, after spending many hours in meditation, allowing myself to feel, telling myself it's okay that I have this fear, it's okay that I have this fear, I'm allowed to feel this fear, and I was essentially becoming the witness of the fear. And the witness is my higher consciousness, which comes from love and compassion and allowance. And the more that I shone the light, so to speak, on this fear, on the darkness, the more that I brought it up to the light. And eventually I could feel it shifting, because I just felt this inner peace.
Well, there's something about this that I think has to do with allowing our shadows to be there.
Yes.
And understanding that they're natural.
Yes.
That, you know, and to love our, in a sense, I hate to say it, but to love our shadows, because I also had some very difficult ones that I roll my eyes all the time. But I've had a long life of living with them, and I'm okay, you know. So
yeah. So
it's like, all right, you know, this is the journey that we've chosen. And in your book, you talk about the fact that our souls actually have specifically chosen these journeys before we're born, even with the people in them, our parents, our significant others, et cetera, our children, that, you know, we know before we're born who we're going to be, you know, dealing with, and in sometimes horrible ways, but yet our souls already knew that.
Yes.
And then what? You know, so you say, well, why would I? I have so many people who talk to me all the time and say, I would never have chosen this life. Don't tell me I chose it. It's ridiculous. I would, how stupid could I have been to choose this life? Now, why would that? You know, why would they have chosen it? Because people don't realize that we're here to be on a journey like yours, that we're here on this planet of limitation.
Yes.
Of great limitation. Everybody is born to shadows that we carry in our personalities, of repeated patterns in life that haunt us, of different kinds. You can't look at anyone else's shadow and think it shows yours. So we each have to kind of understand that this is a soul journey that we're here to be blessed by. It's hard to say that, right? Because it's so difficult. But I always say the purpose of life is to struggle through darkness, seeking light, and the light we find advances the universe. And so yes. You're an example of that. And so how we do it, because we're in an age now where there's really so much darkness around us. This virus is killing so many people, and it's not even the fact that it's killing so many, it's threatening so many. And to the point of everybody locking down, living in fear, having to wear masks and et cetera. It's living fearfully and maybe smartly. If we don't want to get it, we can't say, oh, I'm beyond it. I'm going to go out and I won't get it. You might get it. So, but what is it that we do to move society forward because we've chosen to be in the world at this time? And we could say, okay, we're just going to get it back. We're going to go for vitamin C drips and, you know, we're going to have tons of supplements and our society will return because we can be industrious and build it and return it. Not, you know, and I don't think that's what we're here for. I really think we're here to recreate it in new and better ways, but we have to do what you've done, which is
right.
Uncover our truths, inner truths. And it's hard to do. There's so much hatred now in this, you know, and it's been fomented, you know, by our government, et cetera. But that was all meant to be. There's no mistake that we're in a time that where our hate buttons have been pushed and so many people are acting it out. And what does that mean that has to be changed? And that's where we have to look at our shadows.
Yes. And I feel for me personally, it was about loving my shadows, loving my everything about me unconditionally. And when I started to love myself unconditionally, every bit of it, especially, you know, the fearful bits, the angry bits, the shameful bits, everything, when I was okay with everything, that's when I felt inner peace. That's when I felt bliss. And with the whole coronavirus right now, I'm continuing to feel this inner peace. And I'm not tapping into the fear that's happening around the world. And this is what I'm encouraging people to do, is to go within and acknowledge their shadows, be with the shadows, hold space with them without judging, and be okay with all of you without judging. That's
well, you know, part. What that looks like to me. There are people who come to see me and don't like themselves.
Right.
They don't like, you know, so much about their lives and their choices and all that kind of stuff. And I look at that, I look at their beingness and I see richness that they don't see. It's the richness of this journey that they've chosen that they think is maybe a mistake and they would rather have it different. And I look at it and I go, wow, you've really taken on some difficult truths to deal with in life that you're not comfortable with about yourself. And therefore you're disowning who you are rather than seeing the richness of it that I see and how, you know, brave you are and smart you are in managing the struggle, even though they might not feel that.
Right. So the way I went about it was I looked at the struggle and felt the emotions, the resistance to it. And then in meditation, allowed myself to feel whatever it was that I was feeling, whether it was anger or fear or whatever. And I would tell myself, it's okay that I feel this. It's okay that I feel this towards this particular struggle. It's okay that I feel this. And the more present I was with it, and the more that I was in allowance of it, eventually what happened was that I neutralized it. And so then...
Yeah, it became that richness rather, it became the richness rather than darkness.
Exactly. Exactly. And because it's, you know, the event itself, of course, is what it is. It's your reaction to it that creates all the pain in our lives, right? And so I essentially cleared up my reaction to it. I neutralized it. And then beyond that, I would, because then I would feel this bliss and I would feel this beautiful expansive energy in meditation once I had surrendered something and come to peace with a struggle. And I would visualize myself, in my case, a healthy body. I would visualize myself in a healthy body and I would feel the emotions as if it had already happened. And so I would feel the joy, I would feel the gratitude, the freedom of it. And I would literally bathe myself in this vision. And so what I would suggest for our listeners is to visualize yourself in best case scenario after you've surrendered the limiting beliefs that you've had about certain struggles.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was just identifying with my life as a runner, and I used to be a fast runner, competitive, won some awards. It was great. And now, in my elder years, I'm a total slowpoke, and I have no leg speed. It's ridiculous. But I'm glad I'm out there. I'm glad I'm at least going left, right. But I have dreams where I'm running fast again. In the middle of the night, I'm dreaming I'm in a race and I'm speeding down the road. And then I wake up and I go, oh, that was so satisfying. So the speedy runner with me is still around.
Beautiful. Yeah. I used to be a runner myself, actually. I didn't win awards, but I was definitely an avid runner for several decades. And through my journey with cancer, I ended up with adrenal fatigue quite severely and was exhausted and had very, very little energy in the tank. And even after I healed my body of cancer, it took probably another 6 months for me to regain my energy. And it was actually very humbling because I was forced to slow down and be okay with it.
Sure. Well, I'm usually forced to slow down when I have running injuries and have to be okay with it. But now,
there's gifts in that.
Yeah, it's healing. And we get to look at other things and do other things. But I'm thinking of the bigger picture here and how we're not just talking about helping people beat cancer, or anything else on the physical plane. We're talking about becoming. Who are we becoming? You became a different person, the same person but different. And and our society needs to become a different person. And how does it do that unless it owns up to itself, to its shadows?
Right.
And find out what we're missing. Because I, one of the things that we're missing is that we've been in a male-dominant society for so many years, and men aren't as bright as women, who are the wise ones. And so, and yet a lot of the women who try to compete with men try to compete on the men's level, on, acting paternalistic in a way.
Right, yes.
And society hasn't really... has been afraid of women leaders, at least our current capitalist society. And we have to start, coming up from the ashes with understanding new applications that will be different. We can't help it, because to get out of this decline that we've been in, we have to, in many ways, reinvent ourselves.
Yes, I actually spent a fair bit of time with limiting beliefs that I had around being female. And I was raised by a father who definitely had some chauvinistic ideas about the role of a female versus a male. And I realized that even though I have a university degree, I was born and raised in a Western country, and I'm able to vote and do so much more than many other females around the world, it was still instilled within me, and it's generational. you know, that was passed down from generation to generation. And I realized that this, it was a lack of self-worth that I felt for being female. And it was something that I also worked on in my surrender practice. And I came to the understanding that it really is up to each individual female to work on themselves and their self-worth.
That's great. It's so important that women understand that shadow.
Yes.
That so many live in that shadow because men are constantly driving it home. And somehow, you know, we need wiser ways. And
yes.
And in early societies, Native Americans and other tribal lands, women always had a big place in the council. They were considered the wise ones. And it was understood, but we're in a distortion of reality now that, and it's so dominant when you see, you know, male leaders brag about making women victims of their sexuality, that it's,
right.
It's ridiculous. So things will change.
But I feel that it's gonna have to come. The female, we need to heal ourselves. We can't
yes.
wait for the male counterpart to change. We need to do it from within. It's right. an inner job for each and every one of us.
I'm proud of my wife who leads Moon Circles, and she loves to support women, and is a great leader for that. And is glad that she's married to a guy who has some divine feminine in him.
Yes.
So, but let's talk about this balance between male and female and how that has to come out through a mind state that you feel is best produced through, meditation. That
right.
we can get into universal consciousness, then there is no male or female. We're
right.
just in the power of creation. And then whatever comes natural to us from that, we can be empowered by.
Yes. Yes. Well, and the fact that there were tumors in my breast, my uterus, and my cervix, all female mm-hmm. parts, I think that in itself says a lot as to what I needed to work on. And that was yeah. the feminine. Yeah,
right.
And within the collective feminine, yes, definitely.
And so I'm not a big meditator, although I am in a universal consciousness state a good part of each day. So I don't have to, I know I've had lifetimes of tons of meditation, so I don't think I have to prove it in this life. But I'm so glad to really feel like oneness is the answer, and to find that place of oneness within ourselves, being in that super reality of light and wholeness. And so much of this is about discovering self-love and believing in oneself and the power of each individual to have creative force and have gifts for the rest of us.
Yes, and if I can add to that, I had a huge need to prove myself because I didn't feel worthy. I had to prove myself out there in the world. I was a workaholic. I worked 3 jobs. I was an avid exerciser, and in many ways, I felt I had to prove myself. And a lot of women can identify with that.
Sure.
Because it is such a male-dominant world out there. Yeah. That
you have to become the warrior.
Yes, yes. And I now feel that, yeah, embracing the feminine. And it's not about pretending to be like a man and or the need to prove yourself. And we are worthy simply because we were born, and being male or female has nothing to do with it.
Oh, I love talking with you. And this is such a rich understanding of how we're here to evolve and come from, you know, the full truth of who we are with our light and our shadows, and love them all. And
yes,
that we bring gifts with from that. And so
and the shadows create compassion.
Yes,
I feel, for me at least, with my I've gained an understanding for myself, compassion for myself, but also compassion for others who are, you know, struggling with some of the same things that I was.
Sure. No, we really need to climb into these shadows and own the gifts of them. They all have silver linings.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Cancer had a massive silver lining. That's why I called my book Healed by Cancer.
Right.
It was the best thing that could have happened to me.
So we're really near the end of the show. So I'm glad you mentioned your book again, Healed by Cancer. And your name is Jaka Duncan. It's a Dutch name, right?
Yes, it is.
Jaka. What is it?
Jaka.
Well, I never
learned that. Jaka works just fine, yes.
Yes, most people call you that, right?
And,
but it's Jaika, and Duncan is
a few. Duncan, yeah.
Right? And you have a website?
I do, innerhealthoutterwealth.com.
Oh, I love it. Innerhealthoutterwealth.com.
Yes. And the book is available on Amazon. And if anyone of the listeners are interested, I would search it under my name, because there are only five people by the name of Jaka on Amazon. There are thousands and thousands of books on cancer, so it's easier to find under Jaka Duncan. Yes.
Good to know. Thank you. Thanks so much for being a guest on Energy Stew. It's been wonderful talking with you.
Thank you, Peter. I really appreciate you.
Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.